Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're heading to Namibia, to Etosha National Park.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, one of the best places in the world to see incredible wildlife. And to guide us on our deep dive, we have the Where to Go Namibia website.
Right.
So it's like having a mini guidebook right in her hands, ready for a virtual safari.
I am ready. Let's go.
Let's do it. Okay, so first things first, paint us a picture. What is Etosha National Park all about?
Well, imagine a park so big. It's over 22,000 square kilometers,
Wow.
which is just massive, one of the largest game reserves in Africa.
That's unbelievable.
And at the heart of it is this giant salt pan, the Etosha Pan. It creates this
All right.
really surreal backdrop for seeing wildlife. People come from all over the globe
Oh, I bet.
just to photograph the animals against this sort of stark white canvas.
Okay, so it's this huge park centered around a giant dried-up lake, basically.
Pretty much.
But it's anything but boring.
Right. Oh, yeah. Definitely not boring.
What makes it so special for photography?
Well, the Etosha Pan itself is amazing. When it's dry, you have these incredible
Yeah.
minimalist landscapes,
I love
the
this.
white salt stretching out as far as you can see. It's awesome. But then in the wet season, the pan fills with water and it attracts huge flocks of birds,
Oh.
especially flamingos.
Wow.
So
Okay.
you get this totally different look.
Yeah.
The pink birds against that white,
Oh my
it's
gosh.
just
I can
stunning.
picture that. So we have this super unique landscape. But the real stars, I imagine,
Oh, of course.
are the animals.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about Etosha's wildlife. I hear it's known for the Big Five.
Ah, yes. The Big Five. You're close. Etosha has four out of the Big Five.
Ooh.
You've got elephants, lions, leopards, and rhinos,
Okay.
but no African buffalo.
Really?
Yeah, which is kind of interesting.
So why no buffalo? What is it about Etosha that they don't like?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
There are some theories, but honestly, who knows?
Yeah.
Let's just focus on the big four that are there.
Okay, let's do it.
Starting with the elephants, they're amazing in Etosha.
Yeah.
They've adapted to the environment. Like, there aren't many trees,
What?
so they've actually learned to dig for water
Oh, wow.
in the dry riverbeds.
That's incredible.
They make their own wells.
Smart.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you can sometimes see big herds of them at the
Yow.
water holes. It's really something.
Oh, I bet. Okay, so that's one of the big four down. What about lions?
Lions, they're doing pretty well in Etosha.
Yes.
Yeah, good population. You might see them just lounging under a tree, or if you're lucky, stalking prey near a water hole.
Oh, intense.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome sight.
Okay, so elephants and lions, check. Now, what about leopards?
Leopards are a little trickier.
Ah.
They're really good at hiding.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But you might get lucky and spot one
Yeah.
near a water hole early in the morning or late at night. It takes patience.
That's a photographer's dream right there. A leopard in the golden light.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. So last but not least, what about the rhinos?
Etosha is one of the best places to see rhinos.
Wow, really?
Yeah, both black and white rhinos.
What?
And the black rhino is critically endangered.
Right.
So seeing one is really special. And some of the water holes are floodlit at night.
No, okay,
So you
yeah.
can sometimes see them then too.
Oh, that's really cool. You keep mentioning these water holes.
Yeah.
What makes them so special in Etosha?
Well, especially in the dry season, they're basically lifelines.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All the animals have to come to the water holes to drink,
Oh,
so
see.
it's where you see the most wildlife.
So it's like the best place to observe animals.
Yeah, pretty much. And
Yeah.
the camps in the park are all located near water holes.
Smart.
Yeah, so you're never far from the action.
So like Okakweho, Halali, and Namatoni.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so if you stay at one of those camps,
Yeah.
you're basically guaranteed to see some amazing wildlife right outside your door.
Pretty much. It's awesome.
So we've got Okakweho, Halali, and Namatoni. Are they all kind of the same in terms of the wildlife you see there?
Well, they each have their own sort of vibe.
Okay.
Okakweho is probably the most popular.
Yeah.
It's the oldest one, and it has a really good water hole that attracts tons of animals, especially at night.
Oh, cool.
Halali is a bit quieter.
Okay.
It's in a more wooded area, known for black rhino
All
sightings.
right.
And then Namatoni,
Yeah.
that one's actually inside an old German fort.
Really?
Yeah, it's really unique.
Wow. So you get the history and the wildlife all in one.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's a good overview of the camps. But before we move on, you mentioned that Etosha has a really interesting history even before it became a national park. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So before it was a park,
Right.
indigenous communities lived in the area for a long time,
Yeah.
groups like the San People, and they had this really incredible connection to the land.
Right.
Really understood the animals and the environment.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's not just about the wildlife today.
Wow.
There's this whole human history there, too.
Okay, wow. We've already learned so much about Etosha.
It's a fascinating place.
But I feel like we've just scratched the surface. What else is there to discover?
Oh, there's so much more, especially when it comes to the birds.
Oh, yeah, the bird life.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have to dig into that next.
Definitely.
Let's take a quick break and then come back to explore the feathered wonders of Etosha.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back.
Awesome.
Okay, so we're back and ready to talk about one of my favorite things, birds.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So tell me, Etosha is a bird watcher's paradise, right?
It is. Over 340 species recorded.
What?
Yeah, it's amazing. And in the wet season, you get all the migratory birds coming in.
Oh.
Flocks of flamingos, pelicans.
Yeah, the flamingos especially, I imagine, are just...
Oh, incredible.
Yeah.
The whole pan turns pink. It's really something to see.
And the pelicans, I bet those are cool too.
Yeah.
With their big pouches.
Oh, yeah.
They're always at the water holes.
Yeah, yeah.
Scooping up fish.
So besides those, are there any other like really iconic birds that we should look out for in Etosha?
Oh, tons. The Marshall Eagle for sure.
Okay.
It's huge. One of the biggest eagles in Africa.
Wow.
Really powerful. Amazing to see.
I bet. What about any other kind of unique birds?
Oh, how about the secretary bird?
The secretary bird?
Yeah, have you heard of that one?
I don't think so.
It has these long legs.
Okay.
And it kind of walks through the grass hunting for snakes and lizards.
Oh, wow.
It gets its name from the feathers on its head.
Okay.
That look like quill pens.
Oh, that's cool. What a name.
Yeah. And you can't forget about the lilac-breasted roller.
Okay, the name sounds colorful.
Oh, it is. So colorful. Lilac, turquoise.
Wow.
Green, black.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they're small, but you can't miss them.
Okay, so we've got the birds covered. Now let's talk about actually planning a trip to Etosha. So we know that there are camps inside the park that you can stay at.
Mm-hmm.
What are those like? They're great. They have everything you need.
Okay.
Like shops and restaurants, even swimming pools.
Oh, hey.
And different types of lodging.
Okay.
You can camp or stay in a lodge.
So something for everyone, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, they're all close to water holes.
Right, right. Any specific camps that you would recommend?
Well, Okokoweho is super popular.
Okay.
It's the oldest camp. And the water hole there is amazing. Lots of activity.
Especially at night, you said.
Especially at night.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Halali is a good option, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you want something a little more quiet.
Right.
More secluded.
Okay.
Good for rhino sighting.
All right. And then what about Namotoni?
Namotoni is cool because it's in that old fort.
Right, right.
So you get the history and the wildlife viewing.
Yeah, that's a unique experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so when's the best time to go?
Well, the dry season is best for seeing animals.
Oh.
That's May to October.
Mm-hmm.
The bush is less dense, and the animals all congregate at the water holes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the wet season is amazing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally different. Everything's green.
Okay.
The pan fills up with water. You get all the migratory birds.
Oh, so it's a trade-off, then?
Kind of, yeah. It just depends what you're looking for.
Okay, so whether you go in the dry season or the wet season, you're going to have a great time.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Now, I have to ask about photography.
Of course.
Because I imagine the light in Etosha is just incredible for photos.
Oh, it is. The golden hours, sunrise and sunset, are just magical. It's like the whole landscape glows.
Wow. Okay, so any tips for photographers heading to Etosha?
Patience is key.
Yeah.
Wildlife photography is all about waiting for the right moment.
Right.
Don't get discouraged if you don't get the perfect shot right away.
Yeah.
Just enjoy being there
and
be ready when the opportunity comes.
Okay, good advice. Anything else?
Yeah, don't be afraid to experiment.
Yeah.
Try different angles, different compositions.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get low to the ground or find a high vantage point.
Right.
Well, just be creative.
Okay, cool. So pack your patience, your creativity, and a good zoom lens, and you're all set.
Exactly. And even if you don't have a fancy camera, your phone can still capture amazing photos.
Oh, absolutely.
The important thing is to preserve those memories.
I love that.
And share the beauty of Etosha.
So true. Okay, so as we wrap up our Etosha deep dive, what would you say surprised you the most about this park?
You know, I think it's the contrast between the dry and wet seasons.
Okay.
Like I said, it's like two completely different parks.
Yeah, yeah.
Dry season, you have the wide open spaces, the stark beauty of the salt pan.
Right.
The animals all gathered at the water holes.
Yeah.
And then the wet season, everything comes alive. So lush and green.
Wow.
It's really amazing.
So it's really like witnessing the circle of life.
It is.
And I think that's what makes Tsutosha so special.
Definitely.
It's this place of constant change, adaptation, resilience.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I'm convinced Tsutosha National Park needs to go on my bucket list.
You won't regret it.
I'm sure I won't.
It's a truly magical place.
All right. Well, I think that about covers it for Tsutosha.
I think so.
To all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thank everyone.
And we'll see you on the next one.
Sounds good.
You know, before we wrap up, I'm really curious about something you touched on earlier.
Oh, yeah.
About the indigenous communities that lived in Tsutosha before it became a national park.
Right.
Can we dive into that a bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So for centuries, Tsutosha was home to different indigenous groups.
Okay.
Like the San people.
Yeah.
And they were incredible. They had this deep understanding of the land and its resources.
Wow.
They were amazing trackers.
Really?
Yeah. And they had a real spiritual connection to the animals and the environment.
So their history is like interwoven with the natural world.
Exactly.
Do we know anything about how they interacted with the animals that are still in Tsutosha today? Like the elephants and rhinos and lions?
We do. There are oral traditions and archaeological evidence that suggests they had a really complex relationship with these animals.
Okay.
They respected their power, but they also hunted them for food.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it sustainably.
Right.
And they incorporated the animals into their spiritual beliefs.
So it was all about balance.
Yeah, they understood that everything was connected.
So when we talk about Tsutosha's history, it's not just about the wildlife. It's about the human history, too.
Absolutely.
And how they're all intertwined.
Yeah. I think it adds a whole other dimension
to
the park.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Knowing that people have been living in harmony with nature there.
Right, right.
For so long.
Yeah, it makes you appreciate the conservation efforts even more.
Oh, definitely. Because Tsutosha is such a fragile ecosystem.
Right.
And it's important to protect it.
Okay, so as we wrap up this Tsutosha deep dive,
what's
the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from this?
Mm.
What do you hope they'll remember?
I hope they come away with a sense of wonder.
Yeah.
Like a renewed appreciation for the beauty and complexity of our natural world.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. You know, Tsutosha is like a microcosm of all the challenges and triumphs of conservation.
Right.
It's where the past, present, and future all come together.
Wow. Well said.
Thanks.
To all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us on this journey to Tsutosha National Park.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
We hope you learned something new.
Definitely.
And maybe even feel inspired to add it to your own travel bucket list.
It's an amazing place.
And until next time, keep exploring.
Happy travels.